Good morning and welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast. It is December 27th, 2021. I heard somebody say that they're counting months still from 2020, so it's like month 25 of 2020 now.
Why would they do that? Oh, because COVID?
Yeah. That was pretty great.
It's like a new era.
It's a new way of marking time in the year of our COVID. Well, yeah, BC and CC, before COVID and COVID.
That's ridiculous. No, I refuse to do that.
Well, that's not what we were going to talk about today.
No.
It is the day after Christmas, and I'm deeply, deeply tired.
You slept late. I was sitting here in the dark. And you won't let me turn the lamp on when you're sleeping, so.
I thought that we were sleeping in today. I didn't know we were waking up at 6.
I woke up like at
6:30 I thought like I would like have unbroken sleep until 8 o'clock, but.
I did. I let you sleep until 8, and then I said, it's time for you to get up because we have to podcast.
Woken up repeatedly before that, though.
I didn't wake up. It was a cat woke you up by sitting on your head. Yeah. Your cat was insane this morning. I'm not sure why.
Yeah. Frantic. Our animals didn't get presents for Christmas, and they look really sad.
They got plenty of presents for Christmas. They got like
they only we had got
two people throwing food in the floor constantly. So the dogs were. Bunter has a serious weight problem. We've got to deal with
the roll of fat around his neck.
Yeah, and the desperation really I look in his eye the normal look in his eye is one of desperation for food, and he gets prowls around the house because
there's always something to eat.
There's always a cat shoving its food down on the ground, or a child
throwing pieces of bread, and he really loves his carbs.
Yeah,
he loves his carbs. We found out that the small dog doesn't like beef.
Yeah.
He only will eat capon.
He likes cat food.
And chicken. Like, Posey doesn't eat beef.
Right.
He has to have chicken. Or poultry. The beef is for the peasants.
Yeah. It's just weird that one dog is incredibly
voracious.
And then
To try to tempt one dog with any food at all so he doesn't lose weight. And then the other one is just
sitting there looking at you while you're feeding it.
So we start every episode talking about our animals now. We're becoming those people. We have 6 children, but they're not that interesting.
They're so large now and teenage. I was looking at pictures of Christmas's past and Thanksgiving pasts, and they were so much more cute back then. They were.
That's the thing that happens. Like,
I know. They were so small.
Yeah, they were cute, and it was so fun to give them presents. Now it's like
they're just massive.
It's not unfun to give them presents.
Mm-mm.
It is fun to give them. They're very grateful and
yeah.
But yeah, it's not the same.
It's not the same.
The magic is gone.
Well, like, this is the first time we didn't. I forgot. I would have done it. I just forgot. It's the first time we forgot to leave out eggnog and cookies.
Well, we've been saying for years that we'd rather give
Santa Claus.
That we really wish that the children would leave out sherry and pork pie for Santa, for the Hog Father.
Well, they didn't do that either. So it was.
No, they just were like, all right, we're going to bed now. And they also went to bed at 8 o'clock without any, they all just.
Right.
You know, they're like, good night. Like, get to work. Actually, incidentally, this is the year that nobody really believes in Santa.
I know.
Last
year, there was still one holdout.
But this year.
Right. And we have not told them anything. And
they just figured it out.
My parents have not told me anything yet. I mean, officially, I have not been told that there is no Santa.
Do you want me to tell you?
No, I don't know. I'm not, what do you get? I'm not courant or whatever.
You're not courant.
I don't know.
Well, yeah.
And I think officially our parents, our children from December should never know. Get off our lips.
It's going to be very complicated because they're going to go out rapidly in the next few years and meet other people and bring those other people into our lives to complicate our lives.
I know.
Like, exponentially complicate everything.
Well, unless they meet the right people. This is why the old way was better. We just pick
who
the spouse for our children.
You'll be marrying this person.
Right, exactly. And we would get money out of it. Like, I mean, depending on what kind of society you live in, whether it's a bride price or
so
a dowry.
So do you think, like, you could pick for each kid? So we'd have dowries.
Yeah, this is why we had lots of kids. We'd be swimming in money right now. These would be our insurance. We'd have, like, money coming to us, depending on how well we manage to marry our children off.
Yeah. Well, we have four daughters, though. So are you saying it would definitely be a bride price situation?
Well, I'm saying we'd have to move to a society where there's
a bride price. And then we'd have to move to another society for the dowry.
Exactly. or marry them off to people in foreign lands, right? So that you have...
Oh, yeah.
So just pick the right land with the right custom, and there you go. You're set.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, but now, I mean, there's no dowry or bride price except for the fact that we're going to be dishing out tons of money for our daughters when they get married.
They're going to get married in our... We're going to have we should a garden encourage party the in
nunnery.
Our backyard.
We should the nunnery.
There are no nunneries. No, I want grandchildren. That's why I went through this whole aggregate.
I want grandchildren too, but those are expensive as well. You got to pay to get the people married, and then you got to pay for the fruits of the marriage.
Gosh. I thought we were going to talk about.
I know, like, but see, after ate. Christmas, and I just, I just opened my wallet and poured out, just showered the family with money for the stuff that they are playing with.
I want you to talk about the food now, because you're ruining my Christmas cheer.
I feel like you have to talk about the food, because if I talk about the food, then you'll be bragging.
Huh?
This is the first year we did a capon, which is...
Yeah, I thought that you did the two meats, and they were just exquisite, really.
Did a capon and a prime rib roast.
And they were both, yeah.
The capon, I've never had a capon. They remove a rooster's male parts.
That's not very nice.
At a young age.
And the just flavor, like, is amazing it gets fat.
Right. It's kind of like the culinary version of the opera singers that they called it.
Oh my gosh.
Castrati. This is the culinary version of that. And it does add a different flavor that you don't get.
Wow. Yeah, it was really delicious. It was delicious.
And this Sunday, we get to celebrate the circumcision of Jesus. Smash all that together.
Is that what you're going to lead with? Talking about our... No, this circumcision is not the same.
It's not the same.
Thing that you just said.
It's not the same, but it does involve violence.
Not speech is violence, but like actual violence. So, no, but it was really delicious. I recommend the capon. The flavor is...
It's richer. It's a richer kind of meat.
Yeah.
It's not,
but
just
it's
like
not
chicken.
Fatty. It's not like, it doesn't taste like just an overstuffed chicken.
Right.
It's really subtle. And the beef was just really good. So then I overdid the vegetable question because
I had like seven vegetables.
Well, it's because you've suppressed me for so long. We've had to have Brussels sprouts and asparagus for so many years that finally when you agreed not to do that, I overcompensated. So I did leeks in wine and butter and cream and conte. That was in stock. That was so good. And then I did mushrooms in sherry. No, brandy. Brandy. And then I did onions in the oven with stock and rosemary and cream. That was really good.
They were good. Really good. I mean, the vegetables were really good. I did miss asparagus. I mean, the Brussels sprouts, but I'm okay.
And then...
we can have it for New Year's, Brussels sprouts.
Then we had... my mother made German cabbage, which was really, like, amazing. Because it's cream. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit tart, but there's cream
in it.
It's
really good.
And then, what am I missing? Oh, peas. Peas with shallots and cream and a little bit of provolone. That was really good. Yeah, and then potatoes and Yorkshire pudding. It was too much food, incidentally. And we ate every year.
It was bad because we eat
all the cheese and then we're not hungry. We've got to figure something out. We should just have like...
cheese should be after the meal, maybe. Like, you have a meal.
But the problem is that when we get home from church, we're starving. Yeah. And we have to cook all the food. There needs to be, like, Emma keeps saying we need to have courses, and I think she's right.
A cheese course.
If we had courses, if we had capon first, and a vegetable, like, we would...
that might work, actually.
Yeah, we really need to do... we should try it for New Year's.
Yeah.
Because just having all the food out, you've worked really hard to get it all done at the same time, which is kind of insane. You're starving, so you eat cheese, and then you sit down for the huge spread and you're not hungry. It's a really bad thing. I mean, it's deliciously bad.
Most bad things are delicious.
So, I was pretty happy, though, because I feel like I've broken out of it. Oh, and then my father made a gingerbread lemon curd trifle. And he left out the booze so the children wouldn't fuss themselves, because they always scream. If you add anything in, they're going to...
they're getting good about drinking their wine.
They get little...
we make them at every feast have... like, the little ones can have tiny little tumblers of wine, but the big ones have to have a glass of wine.
And then they can't act like...
they can't just make horrible faces. And
they sit and they carry on a conversation.
Right.
And it's good. You know, without... yeah, they're not allowed to complain.
Yeah. I think we've effectively made sure they're not going to be alcoholics.
I don't know how we would possibly know that.
Well, they're going to rebel against their parents who have made them drink wine every...
Yeah, they're all tending towards...
they all hate it.
They're all tending towards teetotalism.
Right.
Because they're like... this is the pits.
And we give them good wine. It's not like bad wine. It's good wine.
We should give them the whatever 2 buck chuck.
Yeah.
But
well, no, it's good to give them good wine, right? Because then
it tastes really bad.
Right to them. And they won't be able to say, oh, well, that's just my parents gave us bad wine. No, we gave them good wine.
Yeah, and they hated it.
Right.
I'm a big fan of trying to pick what your children rebel against. Of course, you can't do that, or try to premeditate their rebellions.
I've got to say, I mean, look, we're almost halfway, mostly halfway through Aiden's teenage years. And still, with Emma, there's no rebellion. With Aiden, like, no massive rebellion. Of course, they're like little things, but not like, I hate you and your God.
I hate you and your God. But you know what? Sending her off to community college has been great because she really doesn't enjoy modernity.
Yeah. Oh, I know. They're
she is rebelling right now. She's like gritting her teeth against all things of now.
Right. But
it's fantastic.
A steady diet of like C.S. Lewis and Tolkien and, with all the books you make the girls read. And all the medieval history
the
and the
plays.
Greek plays
for,
and the Homer
for her oral. She had she did take us a lot of stupid classes, but one of them was oral interpretation, where you had to read books out loud or read books out loud. They had to do a monologue at the end of the year or like memorize something.
Yeah.
So she did something from one of the plays she did last year, a Greek play. She, in English, the teacher was really shocked, but it was good. It went over well.
So the, yeah, so they get exposed to like what public school, some public school kids are learning and public college kids are learning, you know, so they go from like Homer to you need to repent of your white privilege, or not repent, but you need to divest yourself of white privilege. And they're just like, what? This is ridiculous. This is the kind of thing that passes for history.
There was Emma took Western Civ, mm-hmm. and loved which the they teacher.
Had, which is surprising. They had they Western, had Western Civ, still in this community
and
college.
The teacher was really good. She loved the class, but she was constantly frustrated because the other students would correct the teacher, and then the teacher would apologize, and she was.
That's not.
Like, I mean, that really shocked China. Her. And that, you know, that set her teeth.
The Cultural Revolution.
Yeah. So, but she really liked that. It was, she said it was really a good teacher.
I thought he was always pushing CRT.
Mm-mm.
What class was
that? That was the writing class.
Oh, okay.
That was a writing teacher said they had to write something about CRT, which of course we all know isn't taught in the schools. But it was explicitly taught, and the teacher said in glowing terms, "I've never been able to talk about race before I had CRT." And there's only like 5 students in the class, and they all had to write a paragraph. And
that's so
4 weird. Out of the 5 were like, "I'm pretty sure that we've been talking about race for my whole life."
Yeah, I mean, remember that? This I think it was I forget who it was, but one of our deconstructing / woke. Platformed Illuminati said something like, you know, we've never been able to talk about race like this.
Well, that's what the teacher said. No,
this person said, I was raised in Texas in a public school and I never was taught about race. And this person's roughly my age, maybe a little younger, but I was taught like very clearly about race growing up.
But balance that against another student in the, because Emma took Black Music History, which was a great class too, and a fantastic class. But a student who grew up in New York City, a Black student who grew up in New York City, was in this Black Music History class and said to the teacher, "I have not been taught about anything except for slavery. Like no American history."
Except for the history of slavery.
But that's it also. Nothing after that. Like, nothing about the civil rights movement. Nothing. The Black music... just like,
boom, slavery, boom, now.
Yeah, but like, it was social studies. So there was no history. So this person said the Black music history class just totally... It was wonderful. Like, she was enthralled.
Yeah,
because she didn't know anything about her own life, really.
Right.
So there, it does seem like there's a wild. Teachers shouldn't say, teachers who are able to teach about whatever they want shouldn't say, "I've never been able to talk about race until I had CRT." But at the same time, there is an absolute catastrophe in public schools of any discussion about anything historical whatsoever.
Like in a rational way, like slavery, you talked about.
I mean, like they aren't teaching subjects; they're not teaching writing; they're not teaching history. It's true that students are coming out of the school system without knowledge of very much, and so it is a ripe situation for something like CRT to come. But you couldn't have said that about the 80s. That's what's you couldn't have said in the 80s. Nothing was taught.
Well, I was thoroughly taught about Jim Crow, about slavery, about how horrible it was. This is in South Texas, where when I was going to school, it was in elementary school, it was in the '80s, which would have meant that in the '70s too, born in 1971. So in the '70s and '80s, which would have meant that some of these laws were just around 10-15 years before I was in public school, and they were already being thought of as horribly wicked, and we were being taught that very early on.
Yeah.
In an integrated school, I had my elementary school had lots of Hispanic people, and I would say probably minority white, majority white probably, but it was very
50-50.
Yeah, it was very clear about this was a really horrible part of our past. But it also taught you should love America. It's not bad that we had the Pledge of Allegiance. We had it was an interesting the idea that students weren't taught about our racist past. Is that, the thing is, the students weren't taught what public policies need to be embraced to undo the remaining vestiges of racism. Like what that CRT does is it promotes leftist ideological solutions to quote unquote racism, redefines racism, redefines white supremacy, and then proposes leftist ideological solutions to them. That if you don't support, you're a racist. so it's a different character altogether than what I learned.
But well, yeah. I feel like you're not hearing what I'm saying.
What are you saying?
That CRT is particularly powerful right now because students are no longer taught about anything, let alone
American
racism. I just
think it's hyperbolic. What do you mean not taught about anything?
Well, there's just, like, social studies isn't the same as history.
Right, but so are you saying they're being taught social studies instead of history? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, in a lot of cases, you might hit the Civil War in, like, a vague way for a month and then move on to, it's scattershot. There's not a systematic.
I mean, I think it depends on the school.
Yeah. But in enough schools.
I mean, this is what the parents are upset about in Virginia and other places.
Well, we're in too deep. This was supposed to be a Merry Christmas episode.
No, I didn't do it. You did it by bringing up Emma's college. I didn't do it.
No. We did. You did.
No, you brought up Emma's college. And she was learning and not learning.
You brought up the children were being rebellious. So we can trace it back to its roots.
One more. Okay, so just one last thing about this. And this is, who is it? It was Tabiti. And really wants to, you go so far that you can't actually appreciate a historical figure in that person's time. Like Martin Luther, the person God used to reform the church. Tabiti wants to cancel him because, literally, he said, you shouldn't be quoting Martin Luther, you should be quoting someone else who says the same things, because Martin Luther was an anti-Semite. Well, yeah, he was a man of his time. That's not an excuse, but But by the same logic, there's literally no one from any time period other than our own that we can quote with.
Well, even our own. Even our own. Who could we quote now? Right. Everybody is totally compromised now.
Right. And the irony of the whole thing is that, I bet this is a fad. 20 years from now, the evangelicals who are on the woke wagon are going to just, it's the wheels will have come off and there'll be something else. But the wheels are coming off this thing because it's unsustainable. It's ideology, and it's not going to. It's a shallow ideology at that. So it's not going to last. And it's also kind of built on just accusation. It's Jacobin way of thinking about theology and politics. So it's going to go away. It's just why it's here. It's just so, it just casts an ugly pall over everything.
Well, as I said, Merry Christmas. Welcome to our extra special super Merry Christmas episode. I took off, I think I already said that. I took off December from writing anything because I thought I was going to finish writing a book. And I didn't. So now I'm just going to blog again.
And your first blog out of the shoot.
I have a lot of pent-up writing.
Yeah, like, so, like,
I really don't like Silent Night. I don't like it.
Yeah, no one's heard your voice for... You have not had a voice for a month. And so the first thing you decide to say is, I hate Silent Night. You read a whole article about it?
I really don't like it.
Yeah, well, your next article should be, like, why I hate puppies, or why we should kill all bunnies or something. Because you just really... People love Silent Night. You can't, and it's not that offensive. No, it's not. It's a fine hymn, and you are concentrating on the first verse, not all the verses. Some of the verses are pretty good theologically.
It's all about the ox and the hay and the weather.
Yeah.
And the virgin mother.
Yeah. That's because she was a virgin mother who had a baby.
It's just so played so much.
Every year, and I'm not a sentimental person, when the lights go down, we have a candlelight singing Silent Night, and everybody's singing at the top of their lungs.
Yeah, there's a little person in our pageant who only knew Silent Night, Holy Night, and then so she would she would sing that very loud, and then she didn't know the rest of the words, so she'd slack off and wait for the next time. And that was pretty great. I was really happy about that.
But every year, I'm moved in my spirit by the singing of the Silent Night. And I look over at you, and you have this Scrooge look in your face, and it makes me angry.
Why can't we sing something else right there?
Because we've always sung Silent Night.
I know. It's like having Brussels sprouts every year.
Why don't you like what are you, like a communist? You can't do with tradition? You can't.
I like tradition, but there needs to be, you know, flexibility within boundaries.
Yeah, we should tear all down all the old buildings downtown and build new buildings, because those are old.
I didn't say that. And those are ugly. Some of the old buildings downtown are really ugly.
That's what you're doing. That's the same mentality that goes and tears down downtown to make modernist downtown.
Are bitter. We have to cook them to a pulp to get the bitterness out.
They used to not be bitter. I'm not sure what happened with the Brussels sprout industry, but we've got... I bought the best Brussels sprouts last time, and it was still, you had to cook them way, way, way down for the
bitter. Yeah, so it's basically a mash. You don't have, like, individual Brussels sprouts. And I want to try something new. Why can't we have leeks? It's biblical to have leeks.
I like to find, but I missed the Brussels sprout. I got to figure out, I'm going to buy it from a farmer, maybe.
They come from a farm.
I know, but that you cut out the grocery store middleman. Who knows who the grocery store is buying from?
What are you going to get into supply chain stuff now? Like, is that going to be our next expertise?
No, if I don't, we're going to try Brussels sprouts for New Year's. I've decreed it. And I'm the head of the household. We're having Brussels sprouts.
Well, you just have a good time then.
And if you don't like it, you can make another vegetable. I'm making Brussels sprouts.
Well, good luck to you. I also guess we're having lamb because we got a really nice piece of lamb.
Yeah, we have three pieces of lamb, three legs of lamb with our bones in them.
So we have Easter dinner.
And we didn't
dinner.
Buy a single one of them. They were given to us, which is pretty wonderful.
That is nice. Well, I feel like Well, did you get anything that you... I got an excellent book haul for Christmas. I got the books that I wanted, and I got books that I didn't anticipate, which is really, really nice. I can't find them though, so I can't talk about them here because they're out of reach. But I got some Barbara Pym that I haven't read, and I got a book by an Elizabethan proto-feminist, a high church Anglican.
Oh, that's right.
Who modern feminists think, oh, this will be so great. She thought women should be educated way back in the day, so they start reading her and think, this is going to be fantastic. And then they get to the part, like, lots and lots of stuff about God, apparently, and they become depressed and despondent. So I'm pretty excited. So
that's awesome.
That's going to be cool. And then I got the Primal Vision, which I have already read, but I wanted my own copy. which is the best book that anybody should ever read. And I'm going to read it aloud
which
to you.
Which is about what?
It's, if you are interested in, I think it would be really good for people to read now as paganism comes more fully into view, because I think it's really possible and usual for people of any kind, but Christians also fall into this, where you look at the belief system of another person and think, well, that's stupid. That doesn't make any sense. Or you should just, you know, just believe in God, or and write off a lot of stuff as superstition. You know, that's, they're just being superstitious, or
right.
This gets underneath that. What is really at the heart of somebody who believes in spirits or ancestors? What's going on underneath that, and so you get not a psychological view, but a more empathetic
right.
view of it.
It was written by an Anglican, right?
An Anglican from a long time ago. And it's a beautiful book. Like, the writing is very short, and I really think that everyone should read it. And incidentally, I think that it would be worth, you're cutting and thrusting against CRT, but it is a, there's stuff underneath the sort of presenting issue of CRT that I think Christians need to begin apologetically to address in the secular world. What's frustrating is that so many Christians have taken that worldview rather than deconstructing CRT or trying to
deconstructing Christianity using
CRT. They're doing it, and I wish it was going the other way.
Yeah.
Because I think that it's, you know, there's always true stuff at the bottom of something that's mixed with lies, and figuring out what somebody's trying to say that's true.
Yeah.
Is really helpful. So.
Yeah.
That's what I got for Christmas. What did you get for Christmas?
I got a pipe and tobacco and cigars and booze, and which is all very nice. And I got cooking utensils and clothes, so I'm very excited about all of that that is named in my pipe. I'm really excited about. I used to smoke a pipe, and I just the pipe broke, and I didn't get more pipe weed, so tobacco. So now I have what I need. It's interesting to think about, like, someone posted something on Twitter that the difference between cigarette smoking and pipe or cigar smoking is that the cigarette is like a quick thing. It's not as conducive to thought as pipe
smoking.
It's
like coffee. It's like drinking coffee.
No. Coffee's like totally conducive to thought. What are you talking about?
No, but like tea is slower and more better lift.
No, it's not.
And coffee is just being slammed against the wall.
No, you have nothing. No, tea is horrible. It's awful. Coffee is the drink of thinkers. tea is the drink of English people,
of empire and conquest. Actually,
yeah. Well,
John Wayne probably drank tea.
John Wayne drank coffee in the morning.
Yeah, but he didn't take over vast other lands.
We're not talking about coffee. I was saying how pipe smoking is more conducive to the life of the mind than cigarette smoking, and there was some reason for it. I can't remember what it was.
You said it was a slower, like a cigarette is a fast, quick thing.
Yeah, but not. I don't mean the psychological effects of it. I mean the mentality of smoking a cigarette versus smoking a pipe is different. And then you have to jump in there with your tea, which is, tea has like half the caffeine of coffee. And it's like this weak, watered down flour. I don't know. It tastes like a flour watered down.
You're drinking the wrong kind of tea.
No, I drink your tea. Your tea. And every time I regret. Unless I just shove a whole bunch of heavy cream into it and some fake sugar. I don't like it.
Emma made coffee at church yesterday. Yeah. And she was putting the coffee in the filter and she looked at it and thought, that's just way too much.
No.
So she put one, it was like.
Tea drinkers should never make coffee.
Water. It was really awful.
Tea drinkers should never make coffee.
What happened? So somebody went in and like wildly made pots and pots of coffee.
Because tea drinkers put like one teaspoon of their tea in a pot. Just,
this is going to be so bad. It was pretty great.
Did you correct her?
Yes, I did. And so did everyone else. You don't need to worry. Everybody was like, who made this bilge? It wasn't even dirty. You know, like some coffee is like dirty. It wasn't even like that. It was like almost clear water. You could have just had a drink of water after she made the coffee.
We should go. We have lots to do.
Oh my gosh. We have nothing to do. I mean,
I do.
Having
I have
a
to
day
do
off.
My pull-ups and we have to go for a walk and then we have to do... Put the money in the bank, and we have to go. I have to go do research on things, and I have to.
Oh my gosh!
Because I'm apparently preaching on Sunday, so.
I made lunch for today. I took the mushrooms and the leeks and the onions, and the gravy, and I blended it together into a creamy mushroom onion soup, and it is so delicious.
It's delicious.
That's what we're having for lunch today. I thought about this soup. As I was making all the vegetables.
You geez, the immersion blender that I got for Christmas?
Yes, I did.
Which is really nice.
So nice. As I was cooking Christmas dinner, I was premeditating this particular soup. That's what I'm saying.
That immersion blender is awesome. It has a beater.
Yeah. And a chopper.
And a chopper.
It's like it's all more than, so you don't just have to have one
thing.
Tool. I mean, it does, So. But you're not hearing me about the soup.
I'm listening.
It's an amazing soup.
I know. I did. I took a taste of it yesterday.
I also added some more sherry to it.
Oh. Did you cook it down?
A little bit, yeah. It was really fine.
Don't use up all my sherry in your cooking.
I guess we're back now onto the usual. We've had a vacation for some reason. And I guess I'm giving up.
Because you went to write a book.
I'm going to keep writing it, but I'm going to blog too, because trying to give up one thing. You told me this over the years. You've said if you would just blog less and write, you could write books.
I didn't mean like a month of blog silence. I meant like write 3 blogs a week and then the other mornings write on your book. But you decided just to take the whole month off.
I can't do that. I can't do 2 things at the same time. Well, I'm going to try now because it was a failure on both counts. So, Merry Christmas. And a Happy New Year in advance. I guess we'll be back
next year.
In the new year. If there's something you particularly want us to talk about that you've already told us to talk about but we forgot, you should remind us because...
We'll then do that.
Then we'll try to do that. Thank you for listening and have a happy week.